making order out of chaos. That is the Word of God. Understanding that Word, that we might find encouragement for today and hope for tomorrow, that's this edition of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. Hello and welcome to this edition of Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden. Our time together today will take us back to God's Word that we might find that hope, that strength, that encouragement for our daily walks in Christ. Won't you join us? For today's edition of Abounding Grace now, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Welcome to Abounding Grace. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Linden United Reformed Church. Thankful that you've joined us again. I am joined with Pastor Kevin Eflin of the Bellingham United Reformed Church. Where do you guys meet for worship, Kevin?
We meet in the gymnasium of the Bellingham Christian School on 1600 East Sunset Drive.
And your worship times?
10:30 in the morning on Sunday and 6 in the evening.
Okay. Well, as you know, on Fridays, we take your questions, and we take them right over the air. If you want to email us at www.lindenurc.com, and you can access the email address there, which is aboundinggrace@lindenurc.com. We'll take your questions. So today, we're continuing in our discussion. We're transitioning a bit. We really don't have a lot of questions this time, so we're going to take up the subject of total depravity, but we're also going to start with this general question. I remember sitting out on a college campus when I was in school, and there was a tract on a table, and it was Charles Spurgeon, and the track said Turn or Burn. It was a very strong track, and I remember there were people at the college very offended by that title because it was so offensive, Kevin, because generally the notion today is that God loves everybody and that God has a wonderful plan for everyone's life. And when they hear a message like that, it doesn't seem it's sort of a collision with that thought. Turn or burn, as opposed to God is blessing everyone, loves everyone, and sincerely is desiring to bring everyone to salvation, and maybe he's frustrated when people don't come. How do we approach those two truths as we come into sin and total depravity, and this notion today that of God's love, which is a wonderful doctrine, but also as mankind as sinners?
Well, first of all, Chris, a God whose hands are tied is a rather impotent God, isn't he?
Yeah.
That is not, if it's so, he's not God. And so we don't ever believe that God's hands are tied or that he's wringing his hands in heaven waiting for us to make some decision. You get to the natural question, I guess, is does God love everyone the same? No, he does not. He does not love everyone with a saving love. God is loving, yes. 1 John 4 says that God is love. But we also have to balance that out with the fact that God is holy and that he is just. As our catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, says God is just and must punish sin. And so we must balance out the love of God with his justice and his wrath and his holiness. And I think when we look at the scripture, we see both truths, that God is love and God is also holy. And again, God does not love everyone with the same saving love. Otherwise, everyone would be saved. And we know that's not the case.
And that's interesting because we're trying to lead this into a discussion on sin. And what do you think of this notion today? And I'll start with this question, but this notion today that God loves the sinner but hates the sin. That's just so common, that false distinction, that false dichotomy between the person and his sin, as if the sin is something that is not a makeup of the person. Yeah. And so we have this tension and this thought out there is that God loves the person, but he just hates the sin that dwells in them. And I always answer that question by saying, well, what is God going to punish in hell, the sin or the person?
Mm-hmm.
You can't separate those two. The person is a sinner. And because God is just and holy, he has to punish that sinner unless there is an atonement or a satisfaction provided, which is in Christ Jesus. You anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think, Ephesians 2 says that we are by nature children of wrath. It doesn't say our sin by nature is a child of wrath. We are by nature children of wrath. So I think this false dichotomy between the sin and the sinner is one that Scripture does not teach.
Right. So that leads us into a discussion today on sin. And I want to start by asking how many of you out there maybe to think about what is your view of sin? There are different views of sin in the world and in Christianity today. And maybe, Kevin, I'll start by asking you, what do you think are some of the prevalent views out there in Christianity today regarding sin, and why is it so important that we have a right understanding of our sinful nature?
Well, first of all, if we don't understand our sin, we will never seek a Savior. If we don't understand our sin, we'll never be amazed at the saving grace of God saving us from our wretchedness. I think, you know, out there today, not just in the world, but in the church, there are views of sin such as man is basically good, or that man is sinful because of his environment or because he has learned by imitation how to sin. All of those are nowhere taught in the Word of God. So yeah, I think those are some of the views that are held out there today.
Yeah, this view of imitation or coming into contact with environment, which then teaches this sort of age of accountability, where a child really is not accountable for his sin until he reaches this certain age and then comes in contact with it in society, and then it grows in his heart. But one of the truths that the Bible consistently maintains throughout is this is something that we're born with. This David said in Psalm 51, "Surely I was conceived and born in sin." Psalm 58 also advances this truth that the wicked go estranged from the womb, speaking lies as soon as they're born. And then it goes on, "Break their teeth and their mouth, O God." I know that's not popular today, but we have to think seriously. Just because we don't want to take sin seriously, it doesn't mean that God doesn't. He is very serious about sin, and he is angry with the sin that we're born with as well as the sin we personally commit. And so you see that in the fact that, Kevin, can infants die?
Absolutely.
And what is the wages of sin?
The wages of sin is death.
So what does that tell us? That all of us are born in sin, and that even that sin God is angry with. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, I think, the Bible sets forth the doctrine of sin, I think, in a very clear way. And we don't want you to think that we're a couple of cranky you're younger than me, but we're not a couple of cranky conservatives here railing against sin. We want to hold to what the Bible teaches about sin, but when we do that, all the praise and the glory for our salvation goes back to the Lord, because he's the one who saved us. When we think that we're pretty good, we have a tendency to maybe give ourselves a little bit of credit for accepting Jesus or placing our faith in him. When we understand ourselves, I think we're going to get to total depravity, when we understand what we call the doctrine of total depravity, we are even more amazed at what the Lord has done for us by his grace.
I think that's such a wonderful point. And what we're getting at here is we want to impress upon everyone just how bad we really are, because then the gospel becomes that much sweeter. You're not going to appreciate the gospel. You will take a low view of your salvation, a very man-centered view of your salvation, if you do not understand the depths and the seriousness and just how fallen we really are. So the point is, and that what we're wrestling with here is the degree to which you understand your sinful nature and just how much you have offended God is the degree to which you will be overwhelmed with the gospel and with the grace that God gives us in Christ. So again, we have to set these in stark contrast. If you don't, you're going to muddy the waters and you're going to teach that we're pretty good and therefore salvation is something of our own works. A low view of sin will produce a man-centered view of salvation. So,
amen.
Let's start then, Kevin. Total depravity. That's an old doctrine, right? An old doctrine right out of the Reformation. What is total depravity, and how should we understand total depravity?
Actually, it's so old it goes back to Paul.
Yeah, that's right.
But the truth is, when we talk about total depravity, which does come out of the 16th century Reformation, that what we mean is that man is so stained with sin that sin affects every part of his being, that there is no part of us that is unaffected by sin. It does not mean that we are as bad as we possibly can be. It doesn't mean that we are all Adolf Hitlers or Bin Ladens, but it does mean that sin is so pervasive that there's no part of us that is untouched or unstained by sin.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. There are certain people in our society and world to where they become so hardened in heart that their sinful nature shows forth itself in a much stronger way. But it doesn't mean in any way that we couldn't do those things. We are just as rotten, every single one of us. We have a pretty strong description of total depravity in Romans chapter 3, in verse 10, where it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. And then it goes on, they've all turned aside, they've all together become unprofitable, there's none who does good, no, not one. And he goes on to give really strong language, with tongues they practice deceit, the poison of vipers is on their lips, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and miseries are their ways, and the way of peace they have not known, there's no fear of God before their eyes. That is God's view of mankind. That is when he looks down from heaven, that's what he sees in us. And that should be very alarming to us. Maybe I could have you touch on a little bit, why is that not taking people today, and why do people have such a low view of sin?
Well, I think we can place the blame probably squarely on the shoulders of delinquent ministers. You know, there are ministers today, pastors today, who refuse to preach the whole counsel of God. They spend their entire time perhaps telling stories, giving illustrations, doing nothing more than tickling the ears of people because they want people to feel good about themselves or because they want to get people in the doors, but they are ignoring the doctrine of sin. And so I think a lot of the problems can be put squarely upon their shoulders. If we had faithful ministers and faithful elders who would hold their ministers accountable, God's word would be being preached instead of ear-tickling messages.
Such an important point. How many times have I heard somebody come up to me today and say, you know, we're really only getting half the message where we are. And you know, I remember in college, there was we were teaching a Bible study, and a woman came up and said, you know, and she said, you know, you guys are just too gloomy about sin. And I said, you know, we need to just focus on the love of God. And while, yes, the love of God is wonderful, but again, that's only half the story. And if we refuse to give the other half of the story, not only are we false teachers, but we're undermining the whole doctrine of salvation. We're undermining the glory of what Christ did for us in laying down his life. Maybe you want to touch, where did all this come from? You know, is there anybody in history we could think of that where this started
well,
and was...
Yeah, I mean, we can look at a guy by the name of Charles Finney who basically taught the idea that man is sinful because of imitation. And this goes back to a guy by the name of Pelagius,
right,
who was considered a heretic by more church councils than anyone else in history. But Finney latched on to Pelagius' view that we sin by imitation, and from that time on, this has become very prevalent within the church today.
We want to have a return to what God teaches about sin and about who we are and about the great doctrine of salvation. We'll only understand that in light of the fact that we are sinners who have broken God's law. Thank you for joining us today. Have a wonderful weekend.
So much to learn from God's Word and, well, so little time. We thank you for joining us. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, the ministry of United Reformed Church of Linden. If you have questions or comments, maybe a prayer request, we'd love to dialogue with you and talk with you about what you've listened to here today on the broadcast. Our phone number is 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about United Reformed Church of Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, you can stop by our website, lindenurc.com. And we even have some of the sermons by Pastor Chris Gordon there available for you to listen to at your convenience. Again, lindenurc.com. And when you stop by, would you drop us an email? Let us know you paid us a visit. That would encourage us a great deal. And again, our phone number, 360-318-0429. If you're writing to us, it's Abounding Grace, 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington, 98264 is our zip code. And as we close out our time together today, quick reminder, we are presented on this radio station daily, in part, through your partnership with us. As you link arms with us, prayerfully and financially, we're able to continue the ministry of Abounding Grace here on this station. Thank you for your prayerful support. And we look forward to seeing you next time we get together for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.